Matthew 25 this evening. We'll begin reading at verse 14 of Matthew 25 and read to the end of the chapter. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. It's that parable of the talents in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, that we'll be focusing on this evening in connection with the eighth commandment. The eighth commandment is the commandment that says, Thou shalt not steal. And in addition to the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, I'm going to read the explanation of the eighth commandment in Lord's Day 42 of the Heidelberg Catechism, Questions and Answers 110 and 111. You'll find that the bulletin says page 22. It's on pages 23 and 24 in the back of the Psalter. What doth God forbid in the eighth commandment? God forbids not only those thefts and robberies which are punishable by the magistrate, but he comprehends under the name of theft all wicked tricks and devices whereby we design to appropriate to ourselves the goods which belong to our neighbor, whether it be by force or under the appearance of right, as by unjust weights, ells, measures of length, measures, fraudulent merchandise, false coins, usury, or by any other way forbidden by God, as also all covetousness, all abuse, and waste of his gifts. And then question and answer 111. But what doth God require in this commandment? That I promote the advantage of my neighbor in every instance I can or may, and deal with him as I desire to be dealt with by others. Further also that I faithfully labor so that I may be able to relieve the needy. That explanation of the eighth commandment reminds us of something we've seen as we've gone through the Ten Commandments, that the commandments not only forbid certain sins, but require something very positive and God-glorifying of us. Question and answer 111. Is emphasizing what God requires in the eighth commandment. And we're going to be looking at what the Heidelberg Catechism says, but I want to sum up this evening the requirements of the eighth commandment with one word, the word stewardship. That is what God requires of us in the eighth commandment. He forbids every kind of theft, but he requires stewardship, Christian stewardship. And I want to begin this evening by showing you what stewardship means and why we're called to be stewards. And that traces back to what I can only call the principle, the underlying truth of the eighth commandment. Once you understand that, then you'll see too that stewardship is a good description of what God requires of us. You'll remember, I've pointed that out from time to time, that the commandments are not arbitrary rules that God has given to make our life difficult. But the commandments follow from who God is and what He is. The first commandment is perhaps the best example of that. We are to have no other gods, no idols, because He is God alone. No other God beside Him. And that's true of the eighth commandment as well. God says in the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. But he does that not because stealing hurts others. Not that first of all. But he says thou shalt not steal because he is the sovereign creator and owner of all things. That's the underlying truth of the eighth commandment. That God, who created all things, has never given up his ownership of everything. You have that in the Psalter number we just sang. That truth. Psalter number 57, the first stanza, the earth and the fullness with which it is stored, the world and its dwellers belong to the Lord. And the Psalter number goes on to remind us that that's true because he's creator of all things. For he on the seas its foundations has laid, and firm on the waters its pillars has stayed. You have that truth, that fundamental truth of the eighth commandment in Psalm 50. There, God is talking to his people about the sacrifices that they brought in the Old Testament, and even admonishing them for misunderstanding what they were doing when they brought those sacrifices. Some of them at least had the notion that they were giving something to God when they brought their sacrifices to Him. And so God says in Psalm 50, beginning with verse 9, I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. And he's saying by that, you can't give me anything that isn't already mine. And that is the basic underlying truth of the eighth commandment. We may not, by any means, take what God has given to others, not just because we're stealing from them, but because we're stealing then from God himself, who has given to them a certain portion of this world's goods. And the Christian who recognizes that doesn't steal not just because it's forbidden in the law of God or because he loves his neighbor, but he doesn't steal because he understands that it's God who's given to his neighbor a certain portion of this world's goods. And even though he may not have as much of this world's goods himself, he does not take what God has given to another. That is the underlying truth of the eighth commandment. But that leads to what we call stewardship. If it is true, and there's no doubt it's true in light of what we read from Psalm 50, if it's true that all things belong to God, then in my use of earthly things, I am bound to keep that in mind and to use everything I have as though it belongs to him and not to me. To use it as something which God has committed to my trust and to my charge for a time, but which will never really be mine, which will forever remain his. The wild beasts of the field are mine. Every beast of the forest is mine. The cattle upon a thousand hills. The world is mine, and the fullness thereof. And that means that in relation to God and in our use of what he's given us, we are stewards. And that's what a steward is in the Bible. One who is, first of all, a servant, a slave, really. And a slave has nothing of his own, but who is in his master's house, a trusted slave, to whom his master gives the care of everything that belongs to his master. Joseph is one of the most remarkable examples of that in the Bible. When he was sold into Egypt and purchased by Potiphar, a captain in Pharaoh's armies, then having shown himself to be a man who could be trusted, a slave who could be trusted, he became the steward of Potiphar's house. That's Genesis 39. You first read and of how he came to Egypt and was purchased by Potiphar. And then you read, beginning with verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And then a little later on in the chapter, the Word of God tells us that that was so much the case that Potiphar didn't even know what was his. He had given it all into the hands of Joseph. And that's what a steward is in Scripture. The only exception to that was Potiphar's wife. And when she tried to seduce Joseph, then Joseph reminded her of the fact that his stewardship did not include her. He said to her, this is again Genesis 39, he said to her in verses, I'm having trouble reading, in verses 8 and 9, behold, my master witteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So Joseph was not only steward in Potiphar's house, but a faithful steward in every respect. And that's what we are in relation to God. Blood-purchased slaves who can call nothing our own, but to whom God has entrusted a certain portion of what belongs to him, and who are required by God, our master, to use what he's given us in his service, as Joseph did in the house of Potiphar. We are stewards. And that's what's required of us in the eighth commandment. Now, if you turn again to the Heidelberg Catechism's explanation of the eighth commandment, you'll see that there are some nice ways in which the Heidelberg Catechism emphasizes. Doesn't use the word stewards, but it emphasizes the fact that that's what we are. Already at the end of answer 110, it tells us that all abuse and waste of what God has given us is forbidden. And that makes sense only if what we have is God's. Why should I not throw away the food that God has given me and waste it? Why should I not waste my money, perhaps by gambling it away? The only answer to those questions is that it's not mine. If it were, I could do with it as I pleased, but it's God's. And therefore, all abuse and waste of his gifts is forbidden. And then in question and answer 111, the Heidelberg Catechism emphasizes that by speaking of faithful labor. How does the catechism get that out of the eighth commandment? That it requires honest, diligent, faithful work in whatever place and calling God has given me. Well, the answer lies once again in the fact that I'm a steward in God's house. My life, my work, my place and calling is not my own, but I belong with all that I am to my master and must therefore labor faithfully in his service. And then the Heidelberg Catechism adds to that I may be able to relieve the needy. Why is that required of me? Giving something to help those who are poor and needy. And once again, the answer is the same. There is probably no way as helping the poor and needy. The Bible says, first of all, my brothers and sisters in the church, and then others as well. No other way in which I show that what I have is not really mine, but God's, as giving out of what I have to those who are in need. It's that whole matter of stewardship that explains the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. It seems, you know, when you first read that parable, a bit unfair that the master was so harsh with the servant who had been given one talent. After all, as the servant himself pointed out, he had his own back again. In the end, the servant didn't steal it, didn't gamble it away or something like that, but simply hid it in the earth until his master returned and then gave it back to him. What's the problem then? Well, the answer lies in the fact that every servant of God, every blood-bought slave of God, is required to use what God has given him in his master's service. That's the point of the parable, and that's the reason why the master said, take away the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We are created not for ourselves. What God gives us, he gives us not for ourselves, but for his glory and honor and to use in his service. And when we fail in that, then we are as wicked as the unprofitable servant in the parable and are guilty of theft. You understand that? Of stealing from God himself, not by taking what's his, but by failing to use it for his glory. That's the eighth commandment. Now, when we talk about stewardship, more often than not, we think especially of money and finances. And that's an important part of our stewardship. It's very difficult for us to remember in our use of whatever money we have. Very difficult for us to remember that it's not ours, but God's, and must be used in His service. Perhaps we remember that when we're in church and give out of what God has given us something to the benevolent collections. But when we're back home again and see something or think of something that we want, and even think we can't live without, then it's very difficult for us to remember that what we have is not ours, but God's. And it's at that point, in the use of our money and finances, it's at that point, more often than not, that we fail as God's stewards. But I want you to understand this evening that stewardship applies not only to money or even possessions, but stewardship applies to everything we have and are. And I'm going to be calling your attention to a verse that emphasizes that in a very remarkable way. But we're stewards of our time. The years, the months, the hours that are part of my life are really not mine, but God's. And that's why wasting my time is sin against God. Although it's a sin of which we're all guilty, and often guilty. Time is His creature, and every moment belongs to Him. And so whatever moments He gives me, whether they be few or many, are to be used as though I am His servant, His steward. Stewardship applies to my children, to my wife, or to my husband. There's a real sense in which my children are not mine, but God's. And therefore, I must be very, very careful in how I deal with them. That's stewardship. My body is not mine, but belongs to Him who created it and gave it to me. And therefore, it also is to be used in His service. And that phrase in the Heidelberg Catechism about abuse of His gifts applies to my body as well. You've heard those who think that abortion is okay. You've heard them say that a woman's body is her own. That's a lie. And if it's a lie, and a woman's body is not her own, but God's, then she has no right to do with it and with the fruit of her own womb as she pleases. So this whole business of stewardship applies to everything we have and everything we are. The talents in Matthew 25 are not what we think of as talents, abilities, the kind of gifts we use in our daily work. The word talents in Matthew 25 refers to money. But what we do call talents also come under this whole matter of stewardship. My abilities are given by God. And I have, because they really belong to Him, I have to give an account to Him someday of how I have used those abilities. The ability to speak, musical abilities, abilities for certain kinds of work. I'll be called to account for it all because I am, in the use of those things, God's steward. One of the many stewards whom He has called by the gospel to serve Him in His house. So it is with everything I have and with everything I am. And when I fail in that, then I am as guilty of breaking the eighth commandment as the man who robs someone at gunpoint or who is arrested for breaking and entering. And that leads to what is really the final point of this evening's sermon. Oh, I forgot that verse I was going to talk about. We are stewards as Christians, as believers, as blood-bought children in our Father's house, stewards even of His grace. The Apostle Peter mentions that in 1 Peter 4, verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And that we understand as believers, that the Spirit who works God's salvation in our hearts, the grace by which we're saved, is not ours, but God's. His Son, His Spirit, His salvation, His grace. And insofar as we enjoy those things, we enjoy them only as good stewards. So Peter says. And so he says too in the verses that in the verse that follows. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. If you understand that, then you understand why it's so important that we read the Eighth Commandment every Lord's Day morning. Then you understand why the Eighth Commandment is something that we have to hear. It's not for those, not first of all, for those who are guilty of armed robbery or something like that, but it's for us who know the God of our salvation, who love Him as the God of all grace, and who ought, for that reason, to use everything for his glory, but who so often fail. But that's only to say, and that's the last thing in this evening's sermon, that stewardship, faithful Christian stewardship, is a gift, part of God's great salvation. I've mentioned that already by emphasizing the fact that we ourselves are purchased, belong to God with body and soul and with everything that we are. In that already we see that stewardship is part of our salvation. But that's true also in the actual practice of Christian stewardship. It is impossible to be a good steward of what God has given me except through the presence and work of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Only when my mind is fixed on the fact that my salvation is all God's gift to me will I even begin to remember that I have nothing that I can call my own, nothing in which I can glory, nothing I can use for my own profit, but am required to use all things for him. Stewardship is a gift that flows from the shed blood of our Savior and from his saving grace. And for that reason, the Word of God promises too that faithful stewardship, your stewardship, your faithful stewardship, as those who understand what it is to be the servants of God, who understand your relationship to him and know that it's all of grace. For you, for every faithful steward, there's a reward. Matthew 25 speaks of that. It's not earned. We've already established the fact that we have nothing with which to earn in our relationship to God. We're slaves who owe our very existence to him. But he is pleased to reward his faithful servants, as he rewarded two of them in the parable of Matthew 25, not only with a double portion, but with what's called in Matthew 25, the joy of the Lord. That is the reward of a faithful steward. And I trust, by the grace of God in Jesus Christ, who purchased your place in Father's house, who has given you all that you have with his blessing, that for his sake you will be faithful stewards of what God has given you. God grant it. Amen. Father, bless what we've heard this evening. Spoken with much weakness and sin, we trust that thou wilt stir up our hearts once again by thy word to new obedience and faithfulness, to holiness of heart and life, to faithful service that honors and glorifies thee. Forgive all our sins, the sins of this worship service and all the sins of the day. And forgive them for Jesus' sake, who suffered and died for the sins that we commit against the eighth commandment and for all our evil doing. In his name we pray.